It is the morning show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. Today we'll be talking with four local leaders who are making Milwaukee a better place to live. All four have received Milwaukee Awards for Neighborhood Development Innovation, or MANDIs. Now, in the second half of the show, we'll be speaking with a pioneering developer who's renovating an important part of the city's downtown and bringing wholesome food to a neighborhood where it was in short supply. We'll also hear from a trailblazer who's improving the aesthetics of the city's multicultural neighborhoods. But first, we focus on two organizations that came together to create an educational program that gives participants a chance to get a high school equivalency diploma while learning the practical business of the construction trade. Mark Kasenich is the CEO and president of WRTP Big Step. That's a nonprofit workforce development organization that helps people get careers in manufacturing and construction. Holly McCoy is the senior director of programs at Literacy Services of Wisconsin, which offers adult education programs, including basic reading and spelling, English language learning, and also GED preparation. We'd like to hear from you as well. If you live in Milwaukee, we're particularly interested in hearing from you. Is there an organization or an individual that you think is doing some great work in the city? What improvements would you like to see in your neighborhood or in the city as a whole? And this is an important one. What do you think we can do to overcome some of the problems, the segregation, the racial inequities in Milwaukee and other cities? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So Mark and Holly, thank you so much for being with us today.
Morning. Good morning.
And Mark Kasenich, let's start with you. Tell us about WRTP Big Step. What exactly is that, and what does the WRTP, what do those letters stand for?
Well, good morning. That's the Wisconsin Regional Training Partnership, and we're an organization that connects people to skilled trade careers in the manufacturing and construction industries. And really, we're born, you know, as a nonprofit out of that struggle to connect unemployed, underemployed residents to family-sustaining careers. It's really about using training and education to connect people to something better in life, to move out of poverty. So that's the root of our organization. And winning this award has been a fabulous reflection of not just the work we do, but the real need in this community, which is to connect organizations together, which are all engaged in a struggle in one way or another.
All right. Mark, it sounds like your mic isn't quite up, and we're picking you up off of another microphone. I don't know if we can fix that. But what are some of the projects specifically that you've been involved in?
Well, over the last couple of years, the construction industry has been really booming. And so, you know, you look at the Northwestern Mutual project, the Bucks Arena, the streetcar. Those are the kind of the big signature projects in downtown Milwaukee that have really put a lot of people back to work. You know, coming out of the recession, there was a real dearth of opportunities in the construction industry. So those projects really catalyze a whole lot of what's going on downtown. And I know you've got some other folks who are going to be talking about how important these projects are for job creation in the community. And so you know, we've really been thrilled. And at the same time, you know, we've got such a great manufacturing base in southeastern Wisconsin. People tend to forget about how many jobs and how many great careers are created by our manufacturing sector in southeastern Wisconsin. So we've been involved with, you know, everything from large companies like Harley-Davidson down to the small mom-and-pop shops that employ one or two folks. So it's been a real ride this last couple of years coming out of the recession.
All right, very good. You're sounding good as well. Holly
Thank
McCoy,
you.
Can you tell us about Literacy Services of Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Literacy Services of Wisconsin is a adult literacy organization that's been serving the Milwaukee community for just over 50 years. We help adults, as you mentioned in your opening, really strive to achieve their academic goals. So that's different for every adult that walks in our door. It could be math, it could be reading, it could be language. But all of those things are really what they're looking to improve so that they can move on to post-secondary education and or training, which is why the partnership with WRTP Big Step is so perfect, and it's been quite wonderful.
How exactly do you promote literacy in Milwaukee? Who are your clients, and how do you help them develop those vital reading and writing skills?
So we as an organization are really strategic in where we're located. Our programming is offered at 8 locations throughout the Milwaukee community, and that's really done because what we see, and as you've mentioned, with our city being so segregated, most of our adult learners don't like to leave their neighborhoods. They like to really stay where they live, and so we like to meet them where they're at. And really, to answer your question, I think adult literacy oftentimes is left out of the conversation of economic development and improvement, mainly because sometimes we're seen as an important piece, but sometimes people don't know what our organization does and how that fits into the puzzle. And I really think that when we look at the partnership that we've developed with WRGB Big Step, it's a really great look into some of the changes that are going on nationally and locally with WIOA. When we think about collaboration and partnership, integrated education and training is really the way of the future. So what we're trying to do is contextualize learning for our adults and make it relevant to who they are. That's really good andragogy anyways, right? So just trying to think about how we can meet those adults where they're at. And the other piece of that is when we think about our adults that we serve, many of them are parents, not all, but many. And so far this year, in the last 8 months, we've served about 1,100 adults in the Milwaukee community. For those who are parents, on average, our adults are coming into us with about a third grade reading level. So, you know, when their children get to third grade, if their literacy skills are at that level, what happens once that child, you know, reaches fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade? And so what we're really trying to do is close the achievement gap at the parental and adult level so that we're really helping to support our children as well. It's a cyclical kind of process.
Got it. How do you two feel about winning the Mandy Award for this collaboration between your two organizations? Holly, you start first.
It was such an amazing opportunity. It was really humbling, too. I think what was so cool about it was the nomination. When we found out, we were just thrilled, mainly because what I mentioned about adult literacy not always being directly tied to economic development and just the improvement that we can make in adults' lives. I think it was a really cool night. It was beautiful. And I also, there were times where I just had like tears in my eyes because there's so many awesome things going on in the Milwaukee community. And this really is the way to be highlighting those things.
And we don't hear enough about them, Mark Kucinich.
Yeah, for me, you know, there's a limited amount of resources and there's a limited amount of time and there's big issues that are happening. And this community has struggled with them for a lot of years. So the ability to form a partnership and actually impact lives, you know, to get the award to me represents not just how great we are as organizations, but it really, for me, just punctuates that organizations really need to work together. You do not solve issues of, you know, racial segregation, unemployment by just singular efforts or heroes. You have to have collaborations. You have to have people working together, digging into all of the tactical details that go into, in our case, it's overlapping a curriculum and trying to find locations and recruiting and all these things that have to go into these outcomes. And at the end of the day, it's the folks who graduated in that first group that we graduated a few months ago, and folks are working on the Bucks Arena, and we have another group that's in there right now and they're getting ready to graduate. And these are all individuals. They would never have achieved a high school diploma. They would never have achieved access to this kind of a career. And you know, it's the power of that partnership. It's worth every extra hour we have to work to make that happen.
Well, tell me exactly how this program works. Say I'm getting involved in the program. What will I be doing in this program that the two of you have created that will get me not only the high school equivalency diploma, but also teach me some of the nuts and bolts about construction?
Well, I'll let Holly give you the play-by-play. She has a much better handle on the number of hours and which hours. But in essence, the individuals who are coming into this program are going to spend 3-4 months in a combination of classroom and hands-on training. In terms of the construction side, they're going to be learning the basic skills of how to handle tools, how to understand safety procedures and protocols. They're going to They're going to be going out to visit some of the apprenticeship training centers and getting some exposure and understanding of the variety of careers in construction. And so we have a whole curriculum that we call the Multicraft Core Curriculum, and that's 130 hours of classroom and hands-on training that really prepares someone not just to work in the construction industry, but really prepare them for an apprenticeship program, which will give them the full range of skills they need to be successful in their career.
You're teaching them how to operate machinery, and do they actually do hands-on stuff like nailing boards? Give me some specifics.
Yeah, there'll be some. They'll learn how to operate like a fork truck. They'll learn how to make cuts with circular saws. They'll learn how to properly pick up a piece of wood, a piece of lumber. You know, you think about those kind of basic things on a job site. You know, you pick up a piece of wood and you start swinging it around. If you don't do it right, you might whack someone in the head. So it's, you know, there's just little basic things that you have to get someone in that routine, that habit, that rhythm of how to work in this industry, just like any other sector. And the really innovative part of this partnership is, and I like the way Literacy Services says it, is we've taken a sequential learning experience and integrated it together, meaning most of the folks that come into our programming, you have to have a high school diploma just to get started. And mm-hmm. So one of the big challenges as an organization is, how do we get people to get their GED and high school diploma and then come back? And what Literacy Services has brought to the table is just blowing that whole theory up, and now we can do everything in one program design.
Holly, I'll let you weigh in on this as well. How does this specifically work? They're learning the construction trade, which, of course, will make them more employable after they get through the program, but having that high school diploma is so important, too.
Absolutely. An HSED is different from a GED in that it's a competency-based program. So GED is standardized test, right? And the HSED is more competency-based. So what we were able to do was look at the MC3 curriculum that WRTP offers and really do a competency analysis. So we looked at all of the things that we need to offer as an organization through DPI to help the students achieve their high school diploma, and really weighed out what we needed to kind of leverage from the MC3 curriculum to make it a holistic approach to that educational piece. And so with the competencies specifically, our students are supposed to do about 320 hours of instruction, and about 120 of those hours are really the WRTP Big Step program. And so over the course of those 16 weeks, students are exposed to all different types of things. We kind of have them think about, once you actually graduate and you're working in the construction trades, what does that really look like? There's a whole project that they do. It's called A Day in the Life Of. And so what does your morning look like? You know, nights, what does it feel like to even be in that position? We also really look at some of the other things that students really need to be able to be successful. So persuasive writing, research, all of that kind of stuff. And really it's about the quality of the education, not the quantity. And so we're really trying to change the way that our adult students are learning and make those connections for them. It's kind of adult learning theory, brain science, right? So
right.
The quality of that instruction is helping to make the connections between the educational pieces as well as the things that they're learning about the construction trades. And additionally, our students are required to take the ACCUPLACER, so that's the college entrance exam, as well as their civics. So it's really a great kind of, like I said, holistic approach to all of that stuff.
Well, as they say, jobs and education are the ultimate anti-poverty programs.
Absolutely. And I think underemployment in our city specifically tends to be a major issue. And so this is a really great way to take some of our adult students who want really job security and give them the skills as well as the high school diploma they need in order to achieve that.
We're speaking to two recipients of the Milwaukee Awards for Neighborhood Development and Innovation, or MANDIs, Mike Kucinich of WRTP Big Step and Holly McCoy of Literacy Services of Wisconsin, who won their award for a collaboration between their two organizations that gives people a chance at a high school diploma while teaching them about the construction trade. It is the morning show. I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent. This hour we're talking to four local leaders who have won MANDI Awards, which stands for Milwaukee Awards for Neighborhood Development Innovation. Those awards are presented by LISC. That's the Local Initiatives Support Corporation. And our guests for the first part of this program are Mark Kucinich. He's the CEO and president of WRTP Big Step, a nonprofit workforce development organization, and Holly McCoy, the senior director of programs at Literacy Services of Wisconsin. Their two organizations have come together to create a program that gives people a chance to earn a high school equivalency diploma while they're learning the business of the construction trade. Do you live in Milwaukee? Is there an organization or an individual that you think is doing great work in the city? What do you think some of the problems are? And we'd also like you to speak about what we can do as a community to overcome segregation and problems caused by racial inequities in Milwaukee and other cities. 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to the phones. We have Ray in Milwaukee. Ray, you're on the morning show.
Good morning, and thanks to your guests for the really good work they're doing. But I'm surprised nobody has mentioned yet in the first half hour that the availability of low-income housing, especially on Milwaukee's east side, where we've probably seen 10,000 units go up in the last 10 years for high-income individuals. My alderman, Nick Kovac, ignores us when we plead to him, if you have a developer that wants to build some condos on the east side of Milwaukee, for every 10 high-income apartments, there should be one or two built for low-income people, like your students who are going to be working in the construction trade. Why should they only be building condos for the upper income? They should also be building a few condos that maybe they themselves could live in, and we should really be embarrassed at the segregation in this city. It is mind-blowing.
Ray, thank you so much for your comments. And Holly, Mark, do either of you want to weigh in on this?
Well, I don't consider myself much of an expert on the affordable housing market, but, you know, certainly, you know, as a resident, as a longtime resident of Milwaukee, you know, this is a huge issue. I mean, Milwaukee's a different place. You go, you know, you travel the country and you see a much more diverse approach to housing. And so, I'm still up and coming. Can't wait to see it.
You know, go on, Holly.
Sorry. Well, as a nonprofit that helps adults with their educational needs, definitely one of the barriers to educational attainment, aside from childcare and transportation, is housing. So we know that and we see that. I think in the short amount of time we were talking, part of the reason it wasn't highlighted is because we have some other guests here today who are definitely going to be touching on that a little bit more. But definitely an issue and surely something that we're paying attention to and tracking.
You know, in Milwaukee and a lot of other cities in the country, something you can't avoid when you're talking about these issues is race. Wisconsin has had the highest graduation gap in the nation between black and white high school students for 3 years in a row. And the racial unemployment disparity in Milwaukee is really severe, about 14% for black residents versus just 3% for white residents. That's according to the National Urban League's annual State of Black America 2017 report. How can we overcome this racial inequality when it comes to education and employment? And I'd ask the two of you whether you think you're making a dent in it.
Well, I think this collaboration directly speaks to that issue. You know, whether it's a high school diploma attainment, post-secondary education, those gaps in terms of skills and education and competency are lingering and structural. So the intent of this whole collaboration has been to try to get at that issue. I mean, as an organization, we provide a range of training options and connections to jobs and careers, and that's what we do. You know, as it turns out, we are coming out of a recession. We're in a new age in this city, and actually in this region. Whether or not you know, you think Foxconn is the greatest thing to ever happen in the region economically, it certainly is promoting a new attitude toward we need to get all hands on deck as it pertains to this community and getting people ready for opportunity. So whether that's going into the construction or manufacturing sectors that I'm most familiar with and I work within, or any of the other sectors that this economy depends on, I think everybody has a heightened sense of urgency around this issue, and I don't think it's an elephant in the room anymore. I think the reality is people understand that if we're going to be successful as a community, as a region, we have got to make sure that anybody who's left behind is cared for, and that we create the access that people need.
Yeah.
Go on,
access
Holly.
Access is so important. Access is so important. And as a proud MPS alum, I definitely love Milwaukee Public Schools. But we do know that our graduation rate, while the state is very high, here in the city is very low. And it's specifically low for our students of color. And it's not okay. And when we think about access, that's really the key number one issue that we need to continue to approach. Partnerships, collaborations, we as nonprofit organizations can no longer stay siloed. We have to continually be striving to look for opportunities like the one that we're highlighting with WRTP Big Step so that we can continue to increase the access for our students, for our adults, for everyone in our city. And I do think we're making a dent. We know that on average, about 3,000 students in our city don't graduate every year. I mean, that's astonishing and really something that we need to be more proactive in helping. And so as we look at other community organizations in the city who are more youth focused, how can we continue to support them as well so that really we're all meeting the needs and trying to have a continuum of services that are really approaching our community needs in a different way?
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jeff in Milwaukee. Jeff, you're on the morning show with Holly McCoy and Mark Kucinich.
Good morning. I've been a resident of the Milwaukee area for 60 years. I'm just wondering if you could point out or identify the exact racial inequities that exist.
Either of you want to tackle that? I don't know if you have the statistics in front of you, but certainly the anecdotal evidence is there, and what you can see with your eyes and ears is there.
Well, I think you're right. I don't have data in front of me to kind of speak to, but I think we can all agree that Milwaukee has seen a tremendous turn from the 70s to the 80s to the 90s, where there were manufacturing jobs that did provide family-sustaining careers. The community had a bedrock. And what we saw through the 70s and 80s was a major change in the economic structure of jobs and careers and families. And that has not returned in its entirety at this point. We are catching up in some ways. But the reality is, the reality is there are two labor markets in Milwaukee. There is the low-wage labor market, which is predominantly, takes advantage of the fact that we have people who are underskilled, underemployed, and then we have the high-wage labor market, and that largely skews black and white in this community.
And I don't think we need statistics to know that if you take a drive from 27th Street on Rawson and continue to go north, we know that we see huge disparities, and they are specifically for people of color. So those inequities do exist. We have a large westward expansion that happened years ago, and we see more white people moving out of the city, and it's leaving people here to try to figure out how to continue to develop this area, make it better. And I'm excited to hear from Jonathan and Kaylin in a little bit more about that, those specific things. But, I mean, we know that that exists.
Well, white people are a minority in Milwaukee right now. How can Milwaukee solve these problems of segregation that affect everyone, even though its residents are so separated from one another?
We have to come together. I mean, we have to come together. We have to continue these conversations. We have to talk about the things that are not easy to talk about, that make us uncomfortable. We have to be uncomfortable and be okay with that. And we need to really step up and take ownership of the role we all play, no matter who we are, whether that's, race, ethnicity, age, gender, all of the things that we've all been talking about for a while. We need to continue those conversations. And we also need to continue to look for things that keep us moving forward.
Mark, you've got the last word.
Yeah, I think whether it's political leadership, civic leadership, to really crack this issue open, it requires a tremendous amount of leadership. It's an intent. It's a will. And I think, you know, we have an encouraging generation coming behind, at least where I'm at, where I think there's a certain belief and a confidence that the way that Milwaukee should look, it's going to look that way. And I think that those young leaders are going to bring that to this community and make Milwaukee a much greater place than it's ever been before.
Holly and Mark, thank you so much for joining us. Holly McCoy is the Senior Director of Programs at Literacy Services of Wisconsin, which offers adult education programs. Mark Kucinich, the CEO and President of WRTP Big Step, a nonprofit workforce development organization. And congratulations to both of you on those Mandy Awards and the good work you're doing for Milwaukee. Now, Mandy again stands for Milwaukee Awards for Neighborhood Development Innovation. Our next guests are two other Mandy Award winners. We have Carlin Haywood. He's the president of the Haywood Group real estate firm. He's been recognized for his groundbreaking renovation of the Germania building. And he also won the Northern Trust Navigator Award for making his real estate projects inclusive and accessible. And he's gotten a lot of publicity as the developer behind a very popular place to shop, Pete's Fruit Market, which won the State Farm Building Blocks Award. The Fruit Market opened last fall in a former food desert in the Bronzeville neighborhood. We'd also like to welcome Jonathan Zuniga. He's the Community Outreach Manager for Layton Boulevard West Neighbors. The neighborhood group won the PNC Trailblazer Award for Block Project Menu Program, which connects neighbors in multicultural Milwaukee neighborhoods with projects to improve their community's appearance. So thank you both for being with us today. And Jonathan, am I pronouncing your name right, first of all?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, very good. Carlin, why don't we start with you? Tell us about the renovation of the Germania building and why that's so significant downtown.
Good morning. First is Kaylin.
Kaylin, I'm sorry.
No problem at all. So Germania, one of Milwaukee's most historic properties, a one-time jewel of downtown Milwaukee, located just a few blocks from City Hall, a property that sat dormant, boarded up, and really had lost a lot of its luster. We purchased the property in 2014 with the mindset of, how do we approach the project and deliver a product that will allow housing to not just the affluent or the higher priced rental market, but also provide housing opportunities to affordable housing residents, so sometimes called low income residents, with the mindset of getting them in the same property. So Germania is 90 units total. It's a 50-50 split between the higher-end market rate units and the 50% split between inclusive of the lower rate units. To get all of those individuals in one building, to always think about how important it is to see a young boy or girl get up in the morning, and as they leave the building to go to school, they may be on the elevator with a doctor or a lawyer, and that whole close inhabitation, that whole allowing them to be in an environment with others and exposure, I think will be game-changing. So Germania is an excellent project for what we look at as a template of how you can take these developments. And one of your callers called in a few minutes ago about how do we get properties like this or projects like this inclusive in the market where we've seen so many higher-end condos and market-rate rentals.
And you're one of the first African-American developers to tackle something that's this significant in downtown Milwaukee. Can you comment on that?
Well, it's kind of astonishing. Anytime I hear, I'm not sure even how to take it as an accolade or as a problem. It's 2018, and we still talk about the first black anything in Wisconsin or anywhere. So to me, that's kind of mind-boggling. It definitely highlights a problem. I think that when you want to build a city up, to build a city up is going to take all hands on deck, as a quote you heard earlier in the show. So I think that when you really want to have a voice of how things should turn out, how our product should, and who you're trying to serve. Being a developer, a black developer downtown, I definitely add a different voice of how things should turn out.
Well, Kalen, I hear you. And tell us a little bit about Pete's Fruit Market. It's gotten a lot of really positive publicity lately.
Well, Pete's Fruit Market is extraordinary for several reasons, one of which is Pete's is unlike most developments that we've been a part of. We take some credit for being the developer of the project, but Pete's was solely driven by and the vision of the neighborhood. The neighborhood had an idea of what they wanted. They had an idea of what they felt they deserved, and they would not settle for anything less. And I think that Pete's also serves as a template of when a neighborhood voices their opinion, they have local representation that believes in them and stands up for them, and then the collaboration happens between the private sector and public sector. You get projects like Pete's. So formerly a food desert, now has an outstanding 15,000 square foot fresh meat, fresh produce retailer that's committed to the neighborhood. They hire from the neighborhood. And even during construction, we exceeded all goals of neighborhood hire for labor. So in every point that you look at, how we go back and we audit Pete's and look at how it happened, how it started, and how it ended. In every area, we think that we exceeded goals, and I'm positive that the city is proud of it.
You know, they have fresh seafood at Pete's, and that's something that you don't find in enough neighborhoods in Milwaukee. Do you see it as being kind of a template or a model for how things might go in other neighborhoods?
Definitely. I think that it's a high trafficked corner. It's an intersection that screams to be catalytic. But what it gives most, you know, people always say that it was a food desert. For a long time, I said it was a hope desert. It was a dream desert. So now with Pete's there and people that actually live there to help develop and build the project, and now you have residents that live there, that work there in the store, and they purchase from there, there's a whole sense, a different sense of hope. That's, people believe that their voice matters, that people care. They have pride in that development as if it's theirs.
Let's move to Jonathan Zuniga, another Mandy Award winner. Jonathan, can you tell us about the Block Project Menu program? What is it, and how did that get started?
Yeah, so Lane Boulevard West Neighbors is a community development organization in the south side of Milwaukee. We work to stabilize and revitalize three neighborhoods, Silver City, Burnham Park, and Lane Park. And these three neighborhoods, we have a diverse population. While we do have a high percentage of Latino residents, we still have a lot of also high percentage of white, black, and Hmong residents in the neighborhood. So how the Block Project Menu came about is the goals were to connect residents in the neighborhood, right? We want to start building people power. We want to start organizing residents, and you got to meet them somewhere and got to start somewhere. So we start at the block level. So right there where they live, getting residents together while there have different cultures, different languages. There was those barriers that maybe prevent us from talking to my neighbor. And I grew up not necessarily in the neighborhood, but in the south side of Milwaukee. So I lived through that. You know, I didn't talk to anybody on my block where I live. So we're dealing with these things, and how do we build people power when people are not even communicating or working with their own neighbors? So the Block Project is the Block Project Menu was something where we created this poster that we outlined five block projects. And we go around and we have block meetings with residents. We have them on the street. So we have like 15, 20 residents out there, and they all vote for a project that they want to do, whether it's everybody has the same decorative address plaque, everybody has the same neighborhood flag, or they want to do like a flower sale for all the residents to have, you know, really nice gardens and flowers out there. So it's something, it's not, I always said, it's not about the actual thing, about the address plaque or the neighborhood flag is about the process and the result. So residents have to go out and knock on doors, talk to the residents to work on this project. Everybody puts, you know, pitches in $5, $10 for the project. And then after that, you know, we usually have a block party to celebrate the project. And, you know, we have to go through grants to apply for these community improvement projects. So it's that process. We walk at every step with residents.
So this is this is really people power. This is something that you're doing on a household by household level. You're getting people involved in their own community and deciding themselves what they can do to make where they live a better place to live.
Exactly, and it's something small to start with, a small win. But it shows residents, and we work with block leaders, it shows them the power that they have of accomplishing something. So, you know, it's a good, you know, it's the block project menu is a good tool to activate blocks where they aren't organized or they're not, there's no connection in there. So we use this tool to activate those blocks and start from there.
We're talking with Jonathan Zuniga. He is the Community Outreach Manager for Layton Boulevard West Neighbors, which won the PNC Trailblazer Award for Block Project Menu Program and improving the appearance of one of the city's multicultural neighborhoods. And also Kalen Haywood. He's the president of the Haywood Group Real Estate Firm, which has been recognized for his groundbreaking renovation of the Germania Building, also for the development of the very popular Pete's Fruit Market, which has brought wholesome food to the Bronzeville neighborhood, where it was previously in short supply. I'm Glenn Moberg, and for Kate Archer Kent, we are looking at the Mandy Awards this hour. We'll have more after this. It is the morning show. I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent. Today we're focusing on some good news for Milwaukee by talking with recent winners of the Mandy Awards, which stands for Milwaukee Awards for Neighborhood Development Initiatives. They are presented by LISC, the Local Initiatives Support Corporation. Our guests for this portion of the show are Kalen Haywood. He's the president of the Haywood Group Real Estate Firm. And also Jonathan Zuniga, who is the Community Outreach Manager for Layton Boulevard West Neighbors. Do you live in Milwaukee? Is there an organization or an individual that you think is doing great work in the city? What improvements would you like to see in your neighborhood? What do you think we can do to overcome some of the problems of segregation and racial inequities and the gap between rich and poor in Milwaukee and other cities? You can weigh in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Ralph in Milwaukee. Ralph, you've been waiting patiently, and you are on the morning show right now with Kalen and Jonathan.
Yeah, good morning. I'm a 70-year-old lifetime City of Milwaukee resident, and I would just like to see the state legislature and the governor stop passing unfunded mandates or taking away local control, which they've done over 160 times since they became control of the legislature in 2011. So I'd like to have them leave their hands off of local government and what they're attempting to do or not to do that the state is dictating that they can or cannot do. If they could keep their nose out of local government, that would be just fine. But in the 7 years that they've been the majority control of the state legislature and the governorship, they've passed over 160 laws that tell you what you can and can't do. And if they would stop doing that, we'd be able to help ourselves a little more. That's my comment. Thank you.
Well, Ralph, thanks so much for the comment. Kalen, do you have a reaction to that?
Not at all.
Not at all. And Jonathan, how about you?
Well, I think it's all, again, it goes to the residents and, you know, being more involved civically and being engaged. And I think that's something that we need to get better at and engage in residents in participating in the political process.
I want to touch on something we touched in the first part of the program, and that's some of these gaps that we see in the city of Milwaukee and how they're connected to the issue of race. We've got the highest graduation gap in the nation between black and white high school students now for 3 years in a row. The racial unemployment disparity in Milwaukee is severe, about 14% for black residents versus about 3% for white residents. What exactly can we do to address some of these problems, Kalen Hayward?
Well, I think that and it was spoke to early in the show. There's a few things. One is, I think there's a lot of organizations, there's a lot of individuals about our city that have the zeal, they have the right mindset, but they're working in silos. You had two guests on earlier that you see what happens when there's collaboration. Collaboration that doesn't seem like a normal collaborative effort, but it produces good work and good results. So whether it's the faith-based community, the entrepreneurs, the big business, the politics, we all have to find a way to work to get out of the silo mindset. The mindset is the biggest detriment we have to moving forward. There's no lack of resources. We have the resources. There's no lack of opportunity. We have the opportunity. What we have to change is the narrative and the mindset. And until we do that, we're going to be stuck. So it just behooves me that we talk about issues that we've been talking about for decades. This is nothing. This is not anything new. But until you get people that want to think outside the box and think about things other than their own agenda and find out how they can use resources to partner with others, then we can really help ourselves. And if you look at projects like Germania, if you look at projects like Peace, and there's many others, the brick and mortar of what we build is just a platform that people see. But the object is not just to build buildings, but it's to build people. It's to build opportunity. It's to build strong minds. So that's what, you know, if everybody just took their whatever vocation they may have, whatever job you have, if you use that job as a platform to build people and build opportunity, we can go a lot further.
If you live in Milwaukee, 1-800-642-1234. If you've got opinions about some of the problems, some of the things that are holding people back, and some of the good things that are being done to improve the situation, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jonathan, if you could comment on how working block by block, person by person, household by household, can make a dent in some of these problems that exist not only in Milwaukee but in many of our urban areas, problems that seem so resistant sometimes to change.
Yeah, I think one example I can think of is, for example, we have the Burnham Park, like the actual park in the middle of the Burnham Park neighborhood. We focused over the last 3 years in doing block meetings around that area, year after year, working with residents, with block leaders, doing block projects. And at the same time, we have had working with Milwaukee Public Schools, the rec department, to make major improvements to Burnham Park, because they're the ones that manage them. So we're working with them and with other partners and funders to do these projects. But if it wasn't for those block meetings that we're doing around there, that's how we engage residents. That's how we make a connection. That's how we build trust with them, by listening to them. And then we engage them in these bigger projects around, you know, in development in the neighborhood. And they're a key part of that renovation of Burnham Park. They've now taken on, you know, we have a organized group called the Burnham Park Task Force that it's made of residents. And now they're taking on the project of additionally to the major improvements that we're working with MPS. They've said, you know what, we can do more. And, you know, there's some unused for the past 10 years tennis courts. And they're, right now we're working with them to hopefully renovate them and transform them into futsal courts, so like soccer courts. So, you know, that's, again, you know, those residents that are part of that Burnham Park Task Force are people who we've been working on for years now on their block and now are taking leadership on a bigger project in the neighborhood.
So the work you've done in your own neighborhood, do you think this is something that you can spread to other neighborhoods throughout the city and get other people interested in doing what they can on a local level to make things better?
I think definitely. I think everywhere I go, you know, I grew up here in the South Side, and you know, through my work and volunteering experiences, I've worked in the North Side as well, and I've all around the city, I've seen the how people all over the city are creative, are innovative, are you know, hardworking, care about their neighborhoods. So the people are there, and so I think that even though there's no formula for all the neighborhoods, every neighborhood has different needs, different different population. So even though there's not a formula for all of the neighborhoods, the people are there, and the potential is there.
And Kaylin, if you could comment on the role entrepreneurs play in this entire process, the role that people who are leaders in the business world like you, who are actually leading by example and providing a means through your own work to address some of these situations.
Well, I think being in that whole entrepreneurial space, it offers some advantages. For one, I have a little more latitude to do and think the way I want to think. Being an entrepreneur, being at the helm of our business, I get to approach problems a little different and without sometimes thinking outside the box. So I don't have those constraints. I think that if you look back over time, history will dictate to us that entrepreneurs and small business really drove the economy. And there's a ton of, you know, I go all around Milwaukee and I tell people that everybody has a skill set. Everybody has something they can bring to the table. And going back to the whole concept of changing the narrative, until we give people the belief or instill into them the belief that they can change and they can take possession of their future, they can take possession of their households, they can take possession of their economics, this whole thought that we have to wait on somebody, that we're waiting on a politician or we're waiting on somebody to come and save the day, is ridiculous. So there are some that offer a lot of value to the larger corporations. But if you want to see, and if you want to go block to block, as Jonathan talked about, the mom and pops that are putting up their last dime, that are getting up earlier than anybody, staying later than anybody else, those are the people that the young boys and girls see daily. That if you really want to change the thought process of the next generation, they have to see people getting up in the morning, going to work, and creating a change for their community. Who knows the neighborhood better than the people that have grown up in it, who live in it, and mostly who have invested in it? So the role of the entrepreneur, I think, is especially the time. We're at a very unique time right now. I'm not sure if you call it unique or peculiar, but either or, we're at a very unique or peculiar time in Milwaukee's in Milwaukee's progress, that if we don't catch it and harness it and really get the people out there out front, we should be promoting, you know, more entrepreneurs. We should be creating an environment where more entrepreneurs feel like they will be supported. And that goes, and as I listen to the discussion happening, we're talking about a lot of, you know, the people of color in our community and how do they pull themselves up by the bootstraps. And I think that when you have less, you think more creative. When you don't have access to, or you think you don't have access to the resources, you get more creative. But we have to create a platform where the whole discussion is not about the big business in Racine or Kenosha or all the big buildings downtown. What's going on the far south side and the far north side, where we don't have to wait on anybody? We can partner together, find out who can be access to our dreams, and actually start to implement them.
Very good. We are completely out of time. We want to thank all four of our guests this hour. Kaylin Haywood, the president of the Haywood Group real estate firm. Jonathan Zuniga, the community outreach manager for the Layton Boulevard West Neighbors. Mark Kucinich, CEO and president of WRTP Big Step. And Holly McCoy, senior director of programs at Literacy Services of Wisconsin. This hour of the morning show is produced by Colleen Leahy and Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is our executive producer. You can check out the Ideas Network Facebook page for more news and content from WPR. You can also find The Morning Show on Twitter at WPR Mornings. This is The Morning Show.